How are you, Michael?
Outstanding, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Well, in doing my homework, it seems like you're a guy who's not all hunky-dory with pure Michigan. Is that true or false?
That's true. In fact, it goes beyond pure Michigan, however. The Michigan Economic Development Corporation is an agency I believe should be eliminated wholesale. All the work it does is, at a minimum, having a neutral impact on Michigan's economy, perhaps even a negative one, and I think should be shut down and the resources dedicated to it now be redirected elsewhere, such as closing a budget deficit or perhaps investing in state infrastructure like roads.
How much money goes into that entity?
Well, it depends on how you measure it. It's actually quite difficult to do so. I mean, there's a total state general fund subsidy of between $30 and $40 million a year, but they get far more money than that. They get money from the federal government. They get Indian gaming money, and of course, their expertise allegedly is handing out cash subsidies and tax credits that don't necessarily appear on their books, but rather on Treasury's books.
Now, in your opinion, don't most states have entities like this, and aren't they important for creating business, creating environments for business to come to the state of Michigan?
I would say yes to your first question. Most states do have some agencies, though they're not nearly as aggressive and generously funded as the MEDC. But second of all, no, actually, there's been decades of economic development research by scholars with no dog in the fights for these programs. And they, on balance, when you look at the literature reviews, come to the conclusion that the programs either fail on their face or the costs that they incur greatly outweigh the benefits.
Well, that's pretty strong. That's a pretty strong statement to say that the MEDC should be eliminated. Has it been effective in any capacity?
Not that I have seen, nor have I measured empirically. We've actually done two major studies on the most high-profile, most powerful program that they operate called MEGA, the Michigan Economic Growth Authority, which hands out tax credits to businesses they think are worthy of special treatment, almost like candy on Halloween. And the most favorable study we've done shows that the program has no net impact on job creation in Michigan. The 2009 study that we did showed that for every $1 million in tax credits actually collected by manufacturing firms, 95 manufacturing jobs disappeared. That's because they're very inefficient at redistributing our wealth. And it costs the economy jobs. So at worst, we're actually doing more harm than good with our most high-profile aggressive program.
Well, Michael, as you know, polls are like studies. They can be manipulated to give the information that you'd like to give them. Mm-hmm. Why should we, you know, believe this study that you were a part of?
First of all, our study was backed by economic development literature that goes back decades and has been done by scholars completely unknown to us. Second of all, we've used actual historical data to create a model that would isolate the impact of this major program from other economic phenomena. Then we had it peer-reviewed by the best economic development economists in the country. Moreover, after our publication, we reworked the empirical data and submitted it to a peer-reviewed journal who had three economists unknown to us review our work and approve it for publication in a scholarly journal called Economic Development Quarterly. We have done the heavy lifting. It's been reviewed by people unknown to us, and it is met with their approval. We think we're right.
You sound pretty passionate about this. Do you think you're being heard by folks in state government?
We know we're being heard. Unfortunately, we are forced to hear the same two rejoinders from people in state government that we've heard since we opened our doors. We literally did our first economic development study in 1989, and the two big responses that we get are, well, we have to do this because all the other states do it. It would be unilateral disarmament if we didn't do this. My response is, if it doesn't work, it's not unilateral disarmament because it was never armament in the first place. And the second big rejoinder we get is mostly subjective stuff. You know, with the Pure Michigan campaign, for instance, they'll say, well, this makes everyone feel good. They cannot rely on objective evidence because so little of it supports their position.
Well, Michael, what would, in your estimate, what would be the best way? There's going to have to be change here in the state of Michigan. As you know, Michigan is one of the worst places to do business, to attract new business, because of the business taxes, because of the policies, because of the rules and regulations. It just makes it tough and not really profitable for many types of businesses to do business in the state of Michigan.
Well, you've just made a fantastic observation. It's a great segue for me. The first thing budding economists learn is that everything in the world has a price, and that there's an inverse relationship between the price of anything and the quantity demanded of it. So if you raise the price of doing business in Michigan, of creating jobs in Michigan, of living and working and raising a family in Michigan, you get less of it. So while these programs claim to reduce the cost of living and working in Michigan and creating jobs in Michigan, they do so on an ad hoc, willy-nilly basis. We think the best solution would be to lower the burden for everyone, what we call the fair field and no favors approach to economic development. Instead of robbing Peter to pay Paul, you just let all the Peters in Michigan keep the money they earn and invest it as they see fit, and not as an expensive government sees fit. You know, there are something like, I don't know, 23, maybe even more, people at the MEDC alone that make over $100,000 a year in salary alone. That's money that should be left in the pockets of entrepreneurs so that they can create jobs.
Well, what entity, how do you go about attracting this business to come to the state? I know it's going to be up to the politicians to change the laws,
sure,
to change the rules and regulations. Shouldn't there be somebody out there in the world trying to attract new business to the state?
Well, first of all, we do have those somebodies, and they work in the private sector. They're called chambers of commerce. Unfortunately, too many chamber members have been co-opted by the state and specifically by the economic development wing, and they think that handing out these goodies are a good thing. You know, in the first half of the 20th century, Michigan didn't need a government agency advertising about how pretty it was or how good it was to do business here. They simply created an atmosphere where people could thrive, and people recognized that, and that's why we were practically the number one destination state in the nation for in-migrants. Now we're, by one measure, one of the top out-migrant states. What has happened in that time? I argue that our policies have become so hostile to business and people that we not only repel them from ever thinking about moving here, we send our own people to states like Texas and Florida to look for work and greater opportunity.
What happened? Because as you're well aware of, Michigan used to just be a great place to come and do business, and the economy was thriving, and there was a surplus in tax funds. And what happened?
Well, how far do you want to go back? Because we've had cycles, but we've, on balance, had a steady decline. What happened, in my view, was that the state started becoming all the more powerful. Our labor unions became more hostile and more entrenched to business people, and other states, conversely, became relatively more attractive. Further, we not only piled on an ugly business tax, it was an extremely complicated one called the SBT, which has been replaced, by the way, by another business tax, which is just as ugly and hated. I say that because tax structure alone matters. You could have another state with a higher business tax, but that is less complicated, and it will do less damage to your economy as a result. Then we piled on regulation on top of regulation, whether it involved environmental regulations or business regulations. You know, Berry Gordy could not start Motown Records in Detroit today because of its ban on home-based businesses. A lot of people get their start with businesses in their home. You can't run a small business out of your home in Detroit today. It's these types of regulations that repel people to states like Texas and Florida with a more reasonable climate.
Michael, something that I've echoed on this program many times is we've talked about the states that do well in business, and Texas and North Carolina are at the top of the heap. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, why don't we, if I was a politician, I'd send some smart people to both those states to see what they're doing, to bring that information back here and make the adjustments necessary because of the differences in states, and enact them to get us going again.
I'm glad you brought that up. We don't have to send anybody to those states because there's several indexes of economic performance, really economic freedom indexes. And what they do is they try to measure what attracts or repels people to various states. And both have come to the same conclusion. One is written by a Michigander by the name of Jonathan Williams, and it's called Rich States, Poor States. And it created an index that showed states that do well economically, and then it tracked the migration of people to states that have high scores for economic freedom and then away from states with low scores for economic freedom. And the differences were profound. I mean, the top 10 states are major inbound migrant states. People are moving there, voting with their feet, because it's obviously an attractive place to live and find a job. Economic opportunity is probably the biggest reason for migration. Conversely, they found the opposite with the states that had the lowest amount of economic liberty. And this, we've seen this time and again. You don't even need to do surveys of people. You can do surveys of the data, and you find that people tend to move to states that are more economically free as opposed to less.
All right, we know what the problem is. We know where we were. We know where we came from. We know where we are. What's going to help us make the change? Is it a new governor? Is it a fresh legislation? Is it going to have to be guts, someone bold?
I think it's going to take a bold stroke to the Gordian knot that is Michigan public policy. It's going to take someone to come in there and just whack at the knot with something bold, like eliminating the Michigan business tax and the surcharge wholesale and replacing it with nothing. States that live without two of the three major taxes tend to do better economically in terms of their growth than states that have all three, even if those states with just two of the major taxes have overall higher tax rates. You know, that you pay more taxes in those states. They'll do better just because they live without one of them. And by eliminating the business tax, which is doable, it's reachable, the Mackinac Center has spelled out cuts on how to get there, I think we would have to beat people back at our borders, especially when you consider our magnificent water resources. There's a reason they don't manufacture automobiles in Arizona, and part of it is because of the lack of water. We have an extraordinary set of natural resources, but I don't think we're using them wisely, because we repel people in so many ways that they shrug their shoulders at our Great Lakes.
Yeah, well, I initially called you to talk about Pure Michigan, and it's been fascinating to talk about the MEDC and MEGA. Before we let you go and talking about Pure Michigan, a couple of days ago, they won a couple of awards from the U.S. Travel Association, four Mercury Awards for the effectiveness of Pure Michigan. They also were on the cover of USA Today, and that publication seemed to think that the Pure Michigan was working. What's your assessment of that?
My assessment is that they're wrong, and that these campaigns are primarily beneficial for the politicians and their lieutenants who support them. The politicians who have created umpteen economic development programs added this one a few years ago because they wanted to create the appearance as though they're doing something about Michigan's terrible economy. We had the highest unemployment rate of the nation for 49 straight months, and there's no pretty ads with Tim Allen voiceovers that are going to swamp that bad news.
We had George Zimmerman on the program yesterday, and he believes that for every dollar put into Pure Michigan in that campaign, the state gets back $2 to $3. What's your assessment of that?
George Zimmerman's paid consultant came up with that number, and they will not give us the methodology for how they did so. The MEDC has a history of doing that. They go out and buy consultant studies that when you pull back the curtain, show that they're really not creating the jobs or creating the revenues that they claim. The Michigan film industry is a great one. They hired a study. The consultant came out, said this is a great program, lots of jobs. The Mackinac Center looked at it and found that the economist who did the study left out 100% of the costs associated with the program from his modeling effort. That means that the model thought that all this subsidy spending was manna from heaven. Far from it. It came from you and I. And that's not the only example. They did it with the Super Bowl. They left out costs associated with running it and then came to the conclusion that lots of jobs were created. In fact, if you have a moment, there's a study by a tourism economist in Arizona. I'd like to read a quote from you about these types of studies. Do we have a moment?
Yes, please.
Great. He writes, economic impact analyses have an obvious political mission. They invariably are commissioned by tourism entities and usually are driven by a desire to demonstrate their sponsors' positive contribution to the economic prosperity of the jurisdiction that subsidizes their programs or projects. The intent of a study is to position tourism in the minds of elected officials and taxpayers as being a key element in the community's economy. But this economist argues that they're not, and they frequently use multipliers that are unreasonable.
So is there a way to attract folks to come to the state of Michigan to vacation, in your estimations?
My estimation is that we should not necessarily try with any targeted effort unless it is paid for by the tourism industry itself, because they're the primary beneficiaries and they're risking their own money and not ours. Unfortunately, they have actually written in their own report called TICOM, Tourism Industry Coalition of Michigan, that they refused in this survey of industry participants in Michigan to self-fund such an advertising campaign. Now, if they are unwilling to fund an advertising program that will benefit them directly, why should we be on the hook for funding the industry's desires?
Interesting. Michael LaFave is the director of the Mackinac Center's Maury Fiscal Policy Initiative. You can find his work and the fine work at the Mackinac Center on Public Policy at mackinac.org. Thanks so much, Michael. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Tony. Thank you for having me.